5 ways to stack up an extra $1 million. I'll explain next on 3-Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is 3-Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our 3-Dimensional Wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may be aware, I have a YouTube channel. It's called 3-Dimensional Wealth, and it's free when you subscribe, which you may consider doing. I post a new in-depth educational video 5 days a week, so almost on a daily basis. So recently, I recorded 5 different YouTubes, 5 different ways to stack up an extra $1 million. So on today's show, I'll try to cover at least 1, maybe 2 ways that you can stack up an extra $1 million in each segment. And in this first one, I want to talk about how to make infinite rates of return. Now, when people hear me say infinite rates of return, they go, oh, yeah, right. Well, first of all, I've noticed that with many, many audiences that I teach, and I've been doing this for 48 years, most people do not understand how money works. Most bank employees or credit union employees do not understand how money works. And so they do not really understand the term infinite rates of return. So let me simplify this for you. And as a preface, I want to explain how money works in a very simple way. Okay. Now, a business owner knows that if you want to expand your business and make money, you can do that by hiring good people. And so when you hire somebody, you're not just doing it to be benevolent, even though you love to surround yourself with great employees, but you're hoping the employee makes the company more than the employee costs you. Now, some people don't understand that, but you will not last very long if you cost your company more than you make them, okay? So you calculate the employment cost or the rate of return on employment cost, the salaries, wages, all the benefits and everything like that. If a company were going to buy an additional piece of equipment, a widget machine, let's say, what you want to make sure is that you will get a return on the equipment cost. Whatever it costs you to obtain that equipment, you're hoping to get a return greater than the cost of the equipment, okay? So that's really basic business management. Now, banks, credit unions, insurance companies. There's only 4 things you can do with money. Spend it, lend it, own with it, or give it away. Now, when you have your money in a bank, a credit union, or an insurance company, it's in a lended position, okay? You are lending your money to that institution when you deposit it there. And are they just a benevolent institution paying you interest and they just put your money in a vault and somehow they can magically afford to pay you interest while your money sits there doing nothing? No, they have to put your money to work at a higher rate of return than they're paying you. Does that make sense? And so when you have a bank or credit union borrowing your money, like in the last decade or so, it's been pretty pathetic, maybe 1%, let's say. So if we collectively deposited, you know, $1 million, a group of us collectively deposited a bunch of money into a bank and it totaled $1 million, and they're crediting 1% interest, that's $10,000 that they pay in interest for 1 year. Does that make sense? Now, what is the bank going to do with that $1 million? The bank or the credit union or an insurance company is going to turn around and invest it or loan it back out again. And banks and credit unions take a little bit higher risks than a lot of insurance companies do. Insurance companies have to be very careful. That's why they invest a lot of money in just AAA and AA bonds. If they loan money on a skyscraper or a shopping mall, it's usually only 50 or 60% loan to value. So they have tremendous cushion, or they cover their risks. And that's why in the Great Depression, even though banks closed and 40% never reopened again, there wasn't one single legal reserve insurance company that went under in the Great Depression. Same thing happened in 2008. 400 banks went under in 2008 during that mortgage meltdown. 900 more were on the brink of going under. There wasn't one single legal reserve insurance company that went under in 2008. Now, if an insurance company cannot call their loans due or whatever, they may go temporarily insolvent as far as having liquid cash, but they actually have some of the most liquid assets around. And that's why many banks and credit unions, when the federal government asked the five major banks in 2008 to disclose where they had their tier one assets for liquidity and safety, it was in insurance companies. Okay. And so when you have money in a bank, credit union, insurance company, they take your money and they turn around and make more money. And what's interesting is they will borrow your money at 1%. They'll turn around and put it in an insurance company and earn 4 or 5%. Now, how much more is 5 than 1? Don't say 4. It's 500% more. In other words, the bank is paying $10,000 in interest on an annual basis on $1 million that's on deposit with them, that's lended to them. And they make $50,000 or 5%. $50,000 is 500% or 5 times $10,000. So that would be called a 500% return on that. If you were an employer, that would be a 500% return on the employee cost, or a widget machine, that would be a 500% return on equipment cost. So a bank or credit union or insurance company, if they were to only have to pay 1%, but they earn 5%, they're making 500%. But it's really not that. It's an infinite rate of return because they're not using their money. How much of their million in this example, I'm simplifying, how much of their money do they invest to earn 5%? None. It was all OPM, other people's money. And so when you invest none of your money, you're using safe leverage. You can't calculate the rate of return because you're not investing anything, but you're making, $50,000 on every million, but the million wasn't your million. It was other people's million. Is this making sense? So that's called an infinite rate of return. Now, you can actually become your own banker. And so let me just tell you the first way out of 5 ways to stack up an extra million. And stay with me because I want you to register for an educational event, especially if you live in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. So many of you are aware of Airbnb, okay? And a lot of people don't realize that you don't have to own a rental home or an apartment in order to list it on Airbnb. A lot of people think, oh, well, I want to get a rental and I want to own it outright, and then I'll put it on Airbnb and make more money than if I rented it out on a monthly contract, which is true. But see, I know a lot of people, they don't own a single piece of real estate, and they make a lot of money on Airbnb. So if you went out and you found an apartment where the landlord would allow you to furnish it and re-rent it out again on Airbnb, you can rent an apartment, a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom apartment, let's say for $2,000. Okay. So you rent it for $2,000 a month, but if you put it on Airbnb in a really good location, you might be able to rent it out 20 out of 30 days a month for $350 a night. I know many people that have done this. So 20 nights times $350, you would bring in a gross of $7,000. You pay the rent on that, and you're netting $5,000 a month without owning a single piece of real estate. Now, if this is opening your eyes to something, I mean, hello, this is really just basic, but there's a lot of people who make a lot of money on Airbnb and they don't even own a single piece of real estate that they're renting out. They're renting it, but they're just renting it out for a greater amount than their rent is because they rent it out on a monthly basis, maybe for a year lease. So let's say you have $5,000 a month because you have one or two of these situations with Airbnb, okay? So you have $5,000 a month. If you sock away $5,000 a month in my favorite instrument, which I call the laser fund because it's tax-free, you sock away $5,000 a month for 120 months because this is where many savvy real estate investors keep their working capital. $5,000 a month for 120 months. My average return on my favorite financial instrument called the laser fund has been 9.62% since 1997. Let's just round it down to 9.6. If you do the math, $5,000 a month for 120 months, that's 10 years, you will have $1,024,000 that's yours, tax-free. You don't have to pay tax on that, and you're only netting $650,000 or $700,000 like you would on an IRA or 401k or a mutual fund, okay? And so that's the first way is find a way to come up with $5,000 a month. And you can do that. I just told you without even owning a piece of real estate. You sock away $5,000 a month into a laser fund for 120 months. And if you were to average 9.6%, you'd have $1,024,000.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
The second of five ways to stack up an extra $1,000,000. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the first segment, I was giving the first of five ways that you can stack up an extra $1,000,000. That's net to you. That's after tax, whatever you want to. That is net to you, $1,000,000. Okay. So I was explaining how if you can generate $5,000 a month, and I gave an idea of how you could do that without even owning a piece of real estate and rent it out on Airbnb, because you're renting an apartment for $2,000 a month and you're renting it out for $350 a night. 20 nights of the 30 days a month, and you bring in $7,000, you pay your rent of $2,000, you're netting $5,000. Where do savvy real estate investors put that? When they come to our events, they learn to put it in a laser fund because it's tax-free. And I've averaged 9.62% since 1997, and so $5,000 a month for 120 months will grow to over $1 million tax-free. If you were to get the same rate of return that I've gotten for the last, quarter of a century. Now, folks, here's the second way, and I'm going to explain how to leverage safely to make 100% more. Now, leverage is actually the third marvel or miracle of wealth accumulation. There are three marvels of wealth accumulation. One is compound interest. Two is tax-free accumulation or tax-free compounding, which Rothschild said that's the eighth wonder of the world. Einstein said, well, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world, where a dollar doubling 20 times will be worth $1,048,000, okay? But only if it's tax-free. If it's taxed as earned, a dollar doubles to $2, and you pay tax on that in a 25% bracket, you only have $1.75 left. And then that doubles to $350, and you pay tax on that, you'll only have $72,000. Did you know that? That's how most Americans save their money in taxed as earned banks, credit unions, mutual funds, or what have you. And if you're in a tax-deferred IRA or 401k, the dollar will double to 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and 64, and it'll be worth $1,048,000 after 20 doublings, but that's before tax. If that's an IRA or 401k, only about $650,000 of that is your money. The rest belongs to the government. I like to have the full $1,000,000 be totally tax-free. That's why my favorite vehicle is called the Laser Fund, because it's liquid assets, safely earning returns. This spells the acronym LASER. So that's my favorite vehicle. In fact, I have a 300-page best-selling book that is flying off of our warehouse shelves. And if you stay with me to the end of this segment, I want to invite you to an educational event where you can get a copy of that book and another one I love to give away. But come and learn how to retire by design and not outlive your money by converting a lot of your retirement income to tax-free. That's what I love teaching people. But let's go back to this second of five ways to stack up an extra $1,000,000 using leverage. Leverage is the third marvel or miracle. It's the ability to own and control assets without any of your money or very little of your money tied up or at risk in that asset. Now, a lot of people get into financial trouble when they leverage without liquidity. What would that be? That means you go borrow money. And then you go out and you buy some real estate and you take an 80% loan on it, and the last 20% is borrowed money wherever you got it, a line of credit from your folks or whatever. So you're leveraged 100%, and then what happens? A 2008 happens and the real estate market drops 30 or 40%, and then you lose your renters or whatever. And so when I've seen people over leveraged without any liquidity because all their money's tied up, and if you get your rent income and you plow it against the mortgage, now you can't access that money in the property when the market crashes or we go into a recession or you lose your job. And so the only way you can get your money back out of that piece of property is to borrow it back on the bank's terms and prove there's a need why you should have it. And when you need it, the worst is the hardest to get. So a lot of savvy real estate investors will take the rental income off of properties and they'll put it over into a laser fund where it's totally liquid and safe. And the laser fund usually earns about double, 100% more than the cost of the mortgage, especially even before the tax break. So let me explain this. So sometimes I have financial advisors who call, and one day one called up and said, I want Doug to re-explain that damn metaphor. And I went, what? Why don't you clean up your requests a little bit? Do you have to swear? No, he was talking about a dam. I have a metaphor about a dam and a reservoir. Okay, so this is the dam metaphor. Okay, so you know where you have the Hoover Dam or the Glen Canyon Dam. You have these wonderful dams, and they hold back the water. And why do they do that? So that they can usually regulate water. They can. That's why it's called a reservoir. You're reserving the water to be able to use it for all of the people who benefit from that instead of it all going out to the ocean. And so you're slowly regulating water for the drought years and for irrigation and what have you. So it's used for that, but then they go, hey, well, we've got this pressure here and we're releasing it at the bottom of the dam. Let's have it go through and turn some big turbines. And so now we get a new life out of that existing asset. We have power being generated that gives life and light to all kinds of cities and communities below. And if you look at Las Vegas at night, those lights are primarily because of what? Hoover Dam is lighting that up. So, folks, you get a new life out of it. But golly, you also get the use of, calm water in a lake now. And you can boat, you can recreate, you can fish. And so this is giving new life to an existing asset is what I'm talking about. So let's say you have a rental property, a rental home that is worth $500,000. And, you're renting it out for $4,000 a month. Okay. Now, you can sock away that $4,000 a month like I explained in the previous segment. And if you earn just 8%, okay, 8% with $4,000 a month, you'll have $535,000. What did I calculate in 8 or 10 years? Okay, because I'm using like an 8 year or a 10 year time frame. Now, you know what I would do instead of just owning the rental house outright? People say, Doug, what do you do? Now, this isn't for everybody, but what I would do is go out and finance it 80% loan to value. It's a rental property, okay? Because I want to have liquidity. I don't want all that tied up in there in case the market goes south. So if I borrowed 80% loan to value, that's $400,000. I would put that $400,000 somewhere where it's liquid. So I usually put that kind of money in a laser fund. And then I have to service the mortgage. People say, well, now you're paying mortgage and a mortgage interest. And I go, yeah, but that's actually a benefit. See, that's my friend, not my foe. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the mortgage payment is costing me $2,000 a month, okay? And I am, and the mortgage, let's say, is at 4% interest. And I am earning 8% by taking the $400,000, putting it over the laser fund. And I've averaged actually more than 8%, but I'm earning 8%, which is 100% more than the 4% on the mortgage. So so if my rental income is $4,000 a month, but I have to use $2,000 a month of it to service the debt, I still have $2,000 a month. Do the math. If you take $400,000 in a one-time lump sum deposit, you reposition an asset from one pocket to another, and you add $2,000 a month at 8% interest, you'll have $1,024,000 in 8 years. If you calculated the tax benefit, the mortgage isn't really costing you $2,000. It's only costing you about $1,333 in a 33% bracket because you're getting $440 back every month in tax savings, so to speak. If you disciplined yourself to sock that away, you'd end up with $1.35 million. So if you want to learn how maybe you can earn on any money, optimizing assets 8 to 10% tax-free based on actual history, you need to come to one of our educational events. Because a $1 million nest egg could generate $80,000 to $100,000 a year of tax-free income, which knocks the socks off of most IRAs and 401ks in the market.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.